Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this very day, back in 1975, that country singer Hank Williams Jr. did what? Was it A, he fell 500 feet down a Montana mountain? Was it B, he recorded Hey Good Lookin'? C, he married Cher? Or D, he bought a $2 million armored personnel carrier? 1975, Hank Williams Jr., what did he do? And question number two, it was on this day in 1973 that what happened to singer-songwriter star Stevie Wonder? A, he went into a coma for 4 days. B, he recorded an album with Paul McCartney. C, he married Cher. Or D, he went skydiving over Las Vegas. Stevie Wonder, 1973. On this day, what happened to him? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the 6th of August. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1923, that Benny Goodman, at the age of 14, took a job as a clarinet player on a Chicago-based excursion boat on Lake Michigan. 1923, today. And it was 81 years ago today, 1940, that Columbia Records cut the price of its 12-inch classical records. The records were priced $1. RCA Victor followed 2 weeks later, today in 1940. And in country, folk, and Americana music news, we have this article entitled, Wolf Trap Foundation for the Performing Arts announces their summer 2021 performances schedule. See the shows and get your tickets now. Here's a sneak peek at some of the exciting things coming up this summer for Wolf Trap's 50th anniversary season. This is published in fxva.com. July 2021 issue. Every year, Wolf Trap National Park shows a large variety of performances that cover everything from folk and blues, orchestra and classical, pop, country, dance, theater, and even opera. So no matter what, there's a show for everyone. At Wolf Trap, you'll find summer outdoor venues that include the Wolf Trap Children's Theater in the Woods and an indoor venue for fall and winter performances called The Barns at Wolf Trap. Ellen Reed Sound Walk. Don't miss this special event at Wolf Trap now through Labor Day weekend. This innovative and free experience is GPS-enabled through an app allowing art, nature, and technology to converge. Developed by Pulitzer Prize-winning composer Ellen Reed, the Ellen Reed Soundwalk is a GPS-enabled work of public art that uses music to illuminate the natural environment. Available through September the 6th. This innovative and tailor-made event can be experienced in a natural Northern Virginia setting that is home to one of America's favorite national parks. Ellen Reed Soundwalk features a newly written score especially composed for Wolf Trap National Park, performed by Soundwalk Ensemble. Entertainment from August and September 2021 include Steve Martin and Martin Short coming up this week in August 8th, Joan Jett in the Blackhearts, Renee Fleming in the National Symphony Orchestra, Lindsey Sterling, Pierce Freelon, Straight No Chaser, The Avett Brothers, Pink Martini, Lake Street Drive, Jason Isbell, Indigo Girls, Led Zeppelin IV, Brandi Carlile, Darius Rucker, Harry Connick Jr. and his band, Train, ABBA, The Concert, among many others. For more information, phone 703-255-1900 or go to Wolftrap at wolftrap.org. The Wolf Trap National Park is located at 1645 Trap Road, Vienna, Virginia, 22182, about a five-hour drive from much of North Carolina. And in classical music news, we have this article entitled, Survey Published About Audiences Return to Live Events. This is published in theviolinchannel.com, July 26, 2021. The League of American Orchestras partnered with Wolf Brown's COVID-19 Audience Outlook Monitor to survey potential concertgoers on their current willingness to return to live events. The League of American Orchestras hosted 15 ensembles for this study, including the New York Philharmonic and San Francisco Symphony. The current report is of the third distribution launched on June 8, 2021. About 2,100 surveys were completed in this sector. The results showed that 56% of potential audiences would be more likely to attend if policies were in place, with one respondent stating, "There is too much at stake, too many people willing to be dishonest about their vaccination status, too many crazy conspiracy theories out there preventing people from getting the vaccine." Conversely, 11% would not attend if policies existed. "I have no plans to get vaccinated or pay to attend a performance if masks are required," said a respondent in this category. "I especially will not pay to watch musicians wearing masks. The facial expressions are part of the enjoyment of a live performance," that person adds. Regarding face masks, 40% would attend if they were required for indoor events, and 19% would for outdoor performances. Despite this, 20% would not attend if details are collected for contact tracing purposes. Even though 87% are confident in the vaccine to protect them, some are delaying attending live concerts due to safety concerns. "I simply think time and restraint are in the best interest of all, because in spite of being fully vaccinated, we don't yet know how long immunity will last, whether boosters will be needed," someone said. "I also think it's especially important to expand my bubble a little at a time, starting with my grown children and their bubbles, i.e. with known persons, leaving gatherings with strangers until we know more about the overall longevity of immunity," they concluded. Thank you. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled, Get the Party Started with an All Everything Speaker. This is written by Greg Elman, published on the 25th of June, 2021 in the News and Observer. The iLive Bluetooth 5.0 tailgate party speaker is an all everything speaker. It has wheels and a retractable ergonomic handle to easily transport the tailgate gatherings to a backyard dance party. When you look at the features packed into the 10x9x17-inch speaker, it's easy to see why it adapts easily to any environment. There's a microphone input to sing along, color-changing LED light effects, a 3.5mm auxiliary input, and an FM scan with presets, to name just a few. The sound comes from the bass-rich 8-inch full-range speaker, which produces good sound in all the environments I rolled the speaker to. There's also a built-in micro SD slot and USB port to support audiophile playback. The built-in rechargeable lithium-ion battery life will go for 6 hours at 50% volume, and with it charging for about 4 hours. A USB charging cable is included. The speaker sells for about $70 at iLiveElectronics.com.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me.
Frank Sinatra with Nelson Riddle introduce our jazz music news. I've got you under my skin. The title of the article is Nelson Riddle, American Music's Artist Behind the Scenes. This is written by John Edward Hasse on June the 1st, 2021, published in the Wall Street Journal. Few members of the general public know how important an arranger is to music, but Nelson Riddle, born 100 years ago today, was lauded by Ella Fitzgerald and Frank Sinatra and became a household name to lovers of the great American songbook. For 35 years, Riddle was one of the recording industry's finest behind-the-scenes talent, a composer and arranger. He is best remembered today for his work as arranger and bandleader at Capitol Records in the 50s and 60s. Riddle grew up in New Jersey, where he studied piano and trombone as a child. In high school, he had hopes of being a jazz trombonist, but didn't think he was good enough. He shifted his focus towards composing and arranging. In 1944, Riddle joined Tommy Dorsey's band. His trombone playing was apparently better than he feared. He didn't stay with Dorsey very long because he was drafted by the Army in April 1945. He was discharged after 15 months and moved to Los Angeles, where he began working steadily as an arranger for radio shows and records. His first big success came in the spring of 49, when Doris Day's Again was a hit record. In 1950, Riddle was hired by bandleader Les Baxter at Capitol Records to write arrangements for a Nat King Cole recording session. That session included one of Cole's most successful records, Mona Lisa. In 1953, Capitol's executives thought that Riddle would be a good partner for Frank Sinatra, who had just arrived at the label. Sinatra was reluctant. He had had success at Columbia Records and wanted to continue that relationship. But Sinatra's first Capitol records weren't well received, so Sinatra agreed to work with Riddle. The first result of that collaboration was, again, a classic, I've Got the World on a String. That began a long relationship that included some of Sinatra's finest albums, Songs for Young Lovers, In the Wee Small Hours, and Songs for Swinging Lovers, among them.
Why not use your mentality? Step up, wake up to reality. But each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop just before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin.
Riddle was also recording albums and singles at Capitol under his own name. His Come On, Get Happy made it to the top 20 of the pop charts, no small feat for albums of traditional pop standards in the early rock and roll era, and as a composer, Riddle was one of the earliest Grammy winners. In the late 1950s, Riddle began another fruitful collaboration, recording with Ella Fitzgerald. And in 1974, after 5 nominations, Riddle won the Academy Award for his score to The Great Gatsby. Riddle never really retired. He continued to work in film and television and toured with the Nelson Riddle Orchestra. But the traditional pop in which he specialized had gone out of style, and it was a surprise when he was approached in 1982 by Linda Ronstadt. Riddle was hesitant. He'd been approached by pop singers in the past and had turned them down when they all wanted was a single song, which he thought would be jarring and out of place in the middle of a modern rock album. Ronstadt said she wanted to do a full album, and Riddle's daughter, a Ronstadt fan, told him, "Don't worry, Dad, her checks won't bounce." So Riddle signed on for what became a 3-album project. The albums collected on a single package as Round Midnight were hugely successful and actually won a Grammy. And they revived interest in Riddle's career among a new generation of fans.
We're up all night to get lucky. 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 We're up all night to get lucky.
Daft Punk's Get Lucky introduces our rock and pop music news. It's entitled Repeat Offenders. What is the most overplayed song? This is written by Luke Holland in TheGuardian.com on 5/31/21. The most overplayed song is not simply the one that had been played the most. In terms of Spotify streams, that would make it Ed Sheeran's Shape of You with 2.8 billion listens. On YouTube, it's Baby Shark Dance with 8.5 billion views. Though you may rather pour molten sugar into your ears and subject yourself to these rhythmic filibusters, they are not by definition overplayed. Each of these streams was presumably intentional, undertaken by people who wish to endure them. And if one of those songs happens to play on your phone, you can turn it off. Or spray paint it silver and leave it outside for the magpies. It's completely up to you. The true overplay offenders are the evergreen irritants, ready to ruin your day if you happen to wander into the wrong shop at the wrong time. Or dare turn on commercial radio, rain or shine. You know the ones. Maybe it's a Christmas tune, or maybe you just want to get lucky. Well, everyone has their own favorite. So whatever, life is good. Rihanna Giddens playing Shake Sugary introduces our local music news. It's entitled Rihanna Giddens' Musical Autobiography, now on Audible. This is written by Nina Pasquini, published in the News and Observer on the 25th of July, 2021. Rihanna Giddens insists she's the type of person who would never write an autobiography. But on July 22nd, the Greensboro native is releasing To Balance on Bridges, an Audible original that combines autobiographical narrative with musical performances. Giddens says To Balance on Bridges covers topics like race, culture, and class, in addition to performing 8 songs from throughout her repertoire. The last 15 years have seen a wide range of musical styles and life experiences for Giddens. She performed with the Carolina Chocolate Drops, a Grammy Award-winning old-time string band from Durham, for nearly 10 years before transitioning into performing as a solo artist. In 2017, she received the MacArthur Genius Grant, in part for her drive to understand and convey the nuances, complexities, and interrelationships between musical traditions. She now lives in Ireland and has spent the last few years recording and performing music while exploring its ethnomusicology context and researching African-American contributions to country music. To Balance on Bridges is part of Audible's Words and Music series, which blends storytelling and performances by musicians who have recently included Patti Smith and St. Vincent. Throughout the memoir, Giddens discusses feeling neither nor, something more, a phrase from her childhood that she uses to describe feeling in between different categories, a feeling she is familiar with as a multiracial woman who performs in genres ranging from classical opera to country. This fall, Giddens will be touring in the Northeast, California, and Europe with her partner, Francesco Turisi, an Italian musician. Though she is releasing an audiobook with autobiographical bent, Giddens says, "To Balance on Bridges is by no means a capstone to her career. There is still much more she wants to do. It does feel like it's not an end, but a pause point of reflection," she tells Variety. "I've always said that you could never sort of reflect on your life too soon, because there's so much to live." So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day, back in 1975, that what happened to country singer Hank Williams Jr.? Was it A, he fell 500 feet down a Montana mountain? B, he recorded Hey, Good Lookin'? C, he married Cher? Or D, he bought a $2 million armored personnel carrier? Correct answer? Is answer A, he fell 500 feet down a Montana mountain. As noted in a tasteofcountry.com article titled, "Remember When Hank Williams Jr. Had a Near-Fatal Accident?" by Sterling Whitaker, published on 8/8/2020. The country icon went climbing on Ajax Peak in Beaverhead County, Montana, on August the 8th, 1975. The snow beneath him collapsed, and Williams fell over 400 feet, fracturing his skull in multiple places. Williams was not expected to live, and his recovery took multiple surgeries over 2 years. He was buoyed by some of family friends, Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash. Many people don't realize that June Carter Cash was my godmother. When I fell, there were only two people I saw when I woke up in the hospital bed, and that was Johnny and June, Williams recalls. June put a cross on me and told me it was going to be okay. I never knew if I would sing again or not, talk again or not, let alone think about what I was going to look like. It was a scary time, but having people like Waylon Jennings, Johnny, and June around really helped me. And the answer to our second question, it was on this day in 1973 that what happened to singer-songwriter star Stevie Wonder? A, he went into a coma for 4 days. B, he recorded an album with Paul McCartney. C, he married Cher. Or D, he went skydiving over Las Vegas. Correct answer is, sadly, answer A. It was on this very day back in 1973 that Stevie Wonder went into a coma for 4 days after a car accident in North Carolina. As noted in UltimateClassicRock.com, on August the 6th, 1973, Stevie Wonder was heading to a radio station in Durham, North Carolina, to promote his new album, Inner Visions, when he was involved in a serious car accident that left him comatose and left fans around the world worried for his life. Wonder was in a rented Mercury cruiser, driven by his cousin, John Wesley Harris, listening to Inner Visions, which had been released less than a week earlier, on headphones, when the car crashed into the back of a flatbed truck outside Salisbury, North Carolina. He would not perform again for 5 months. Members of Wonder's entourage, following behind the cruiser, moved in an unconscious and unresponsive Wonder into one of their cars and sped him off to a hospital. Wonder only began to emerge from his 4-day coma when gospel singer Ira Tucker visited him, serenading him with his song, Higher Ground. As she did this, Wonder reportedly began moving his fingers in time with the keyboard parts of the song. So let's leave today's program with a tribute to Stevie Wonder's life, Joy Inside My Tears, which he recorded after his recovery.
I've always felt that tomorrow is for those who are too much afraid. Past yesterday and start living for today. I feel that lasting moments are coming far and few between. So I should tell you all the happiness that you bring. Baby, baby, it's a you. Made like his glory. Oh, baby. Brought some joy inside my tears.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.